Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bless your name. All that is within us blesses your name. For you're the mighty God, the great I am, the God of compassion and the God who declares that he is love. So Lord, we want to enter into your love right now. Enter into your presence and from it draw your word and your direction for our life. And we ask this and we speak this in the authority of Jesus' name. Amen. If you've got a Bible, you'll be wanting to turn to Numbers chapter 20. And yet again, the sermon that I've been trying to preach now for the last 3 weeks, God said not to preach again. So we're preaching something else this morning. So I should turn to Numbers, and it's a story. So the book of Numbers is a history book. It's in the first part of the Bible. It's in the first five books, which is called the Torah, which is the law of the Jewish faith. And the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy are all the history and the story of the people of Israel and their journey out of slavery in Egypt and their time in the desert place before they enter into the promised land, where the book of Joshua takes us into the story of them entering the promised land. So this is them in the wilderness. And in this time, various things happen. And quite a lot of the time, the people are just having a go at Moses constantly, who's their leader, because they're unhappy. And I just want to bring you to this story. So Numbers chapter 20, and it says this. In the first month, the whole Israelite community arrived at the desert of Sin. And they stayed at Kadesh, where Miriam died and was buried. Now there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, "If only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community into this desert that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain or figs or grapevines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink." Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, "Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so that they and their livestock can drink." So Moses took his staff from the Lord's presence just as he was commanded him to. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock?" Then Moses raised his arms and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community, in front of the community, and the livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I gave them." Interesting little story. And this week, this story really spoke to me. Because you've got here this moment where there's a problem, there's a trial that people are facing. And amidst that trial, what Moses and Aaron do is they turn to the presence of God. We talked about this a little bit the last few weeks, about entering the presence of God and the need for the presence of God in our life, and how that reconnects us in relationship to God, and out of that brings direction and brings opportunities for us to follow him in obedience. And this story kind of carries on with this theme. And in this story, when they're facing a hard time, Moses and Aaron, they fall upon their knees in front of God in the tent of meeting, in the holy place. And there God speaks to them, and God brings wisdom to them. And he says, "Speak to the rock, and it will pour forth water. He says, take your staff from this place and go and gather the Israelites together." And then they do that. They gather the Israelites together. But then Moses doesn't speak to the rock. Moses strikes the rock twice with his staff. He almost does what God tells him to do, but he doesn't do it the way God tells him to do it. What he does is he strikes the rock, which is, if you go back to the book of Exodus, which is a few books back than Numbers, there's another story a bit earlier in their time in the deserts where God commands Moses to strike the rock for water to come forth. And what Moses does is he hears God's word and thinks, I know what that looks like, so I'm going to go now and do exactly what I've done before. And it's so easy for us to hear a word from God or to get an idea what God's trying to say to us, and we hear it and we put our interpretation of how that's going to be achieved into practice. We think, oh, I've done this before. I know how this works. And so rather than listening to the subtleties of what God said to us, we go and do it exactly the same way as before. And because they did it their own way and various other things, God says, I can't trust you to take my people into the promised land because you're not listening to what I have to say. So my message this morning is really simple. It's a very simple, very short message. The first thing is this. When facing troubles in your life, where do you go, or how do you enter the presence of God? When you're facing troubles in your life, where do you go, or how do you enter the presence of God? Have you ever entered the presence of God? Have you ever felt the presence of God in your life? Because throughout the Bible, what we see is the people who are following God and following the Lord, whether that be in the Old Testament or whether that be people who are following Jesus' way in the New Testament, the thing that marks them out is they have the presence of God with them. They're experiencing the presence of God. In the New Testament, it's called having the Spirit of God living in you. And it talks about people being Spirit-filled. People who are close to God and are intimate with God. In the Old Testament, it talks about the presence of God being with them. So when you're facing a tough time in your life, when you're facing a trial or something you need wisdom or knowledge in, what is it that you do to enter the presence of God? Because in the presence of God that we reconnect in community with God, and it's out of that place of being in that personal, intimate relationship that we can hear God for ourselves. We can hear what God's speaking into the lives of you and me. And sometimes in the presence of God, it's just a reassurance of who he is. It's not necessarily a big booming voice that says, okay, now do this. It's not necessarily that. What it can be is just I just sense that God's close and I feel a sense of peace. Or I feel a sense of love. Or I just feel a sense of reassurance. Can be as simple as that. That is God speaking to you. That is God's presence bringing a confidence to you. See, when Moses and Aaron go into the presence of God, when they're facing this challenge of saying, why have you done this and why have you done that? You're meant to be leading us, and actually you've taken us somewhere where there's no waters and there's no life here. Moses and Aaron go into the presence of God to hear from God, but what God says to them, the first thing he says is, take the staff that I've given you and go and gather the people. And then he says, speak to the rock. What he does is in that place of intimate gathering before God, he reaffirms their calling and he reaffirms who they are. The staff in the life of Moses is a symbol of his authority as a leader. And it's a really important thing. I won't go into a whole Bible study about his staff, but it's a really interesting thing to go and do. Look at the staff of Moses and look at what God says about it and how Moses is called to use it. But it's a symbol of calling. It's a symbol of he is the leader. And so the first thing God does in his presence isn't to sort out all your problems, it's to reaffirm who you are. And the biggest issue we often have in our day right now is issues around identity. Who am I? What's my purpose in life? What's this all about? So if you're asking those questions about, what is my life all about right now? Who am I? Or maybe it can be you've entered a different stage of life and you thought you knew who you were, but now you're in a new stage of life, you're thinking, I just don't know anymore. I was so confident before. I was talking to a lady who's a retired Anglican priest yesterday. And she was saying that her last pastoral calling as an Anglican priest was 8 years ago. And she's just started something brand new in this last week. And she said, God said to me 8 years ago in my journal, she showed me her journal, she said, God told me to take off the clothes of my previous ministry, and God said, I've got something else for you. And she said, it's taken 8 years for that to come into being. But in that entire time, she never lost her confidence that God has something new for her. It was just waiting for the right time. And how you can have patience when you're maybe seeking something, a new direction for your life, is about spending time in the presence of God. Because in that place where you are reassured of who you are and what God's promise is over your life. For say, for some of you, that might be spending hours in worship. For some of you, it might be reading your Bible, and it's in the Bible that you really encounter the presence of God. For some of you, it might be going for a walk, and just in creation, you just experience who God is, and you think, wow. It could be you see a sunset and think, goodness me, yeah, God is so beautiful. God is so wonderful. In that moment, you're reassured of who he is, but actually you're reaffirmed of who you are. This is why I want to encourage us to be thinking about how are we regularly coming before God and encountering his presence. Because it reaffirms and gives us confidence in who God's calling us to be. And it's so easy for us to get off track because we are forgetting who God has said we are and what God has told us to do, what he's called us to be and do. So the first thing God says to them is, take the staff and gather the Israelites. Go and do what I've called you to go and do. Go and be the leader of this people. Go and do this. See, from the presence of God, what he takes with him is an authority to go and be God's man or God's woman. So if you want to experience more of the power of God in your life, you've got to spend time in God's presence, because it's out of the presence of God that we carry out of it the authority and the ability to do the things that Jesus did. Jesus' life is marked by the fact that he spends time every day in the presence of his Father. And out of that, he does amazing things. Now, the life of Jesus isn't like a, wow, wouldn't it be nice if I could be like him one day, maybe? It's saying, you can do what Jesus did. You can be like him. Being a disciple is saying, I want my life to look like Jesus' life. And so it's not a case of saying, well, when it suits me, I'll do this. It's saying, if you want your life, if you're serious about being a disciple of Jesus, time in the presence of God, preferably daily, is critical to being able to have a lifestyle that reflects Jesus. I'm not saying to say, you must have a quiet time that looks like this, 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 and this. How it looks for you, I don't mind. But just being still before God every day and making sure your life is recentered upon who he is will transform and radically alter how your days look. Because out of the presence of God, you're reaffirmed in who you are, and out of it, you take a confidence and an authority to go and do what God's called you to go and do. The staff is a symbol of Moses' authority to go and act on behalf of God. And Jesus said, I've given all power and authority to each of us who are believers. That's the calling. It says, if you're a disciple of Jesus, you have the power and authority to do what Jesus did, and the Bible says, and even greater things. That makes me really excited. Even greater things. But it's not just like, I'm a Christian now, I can do these things. It's I'm a Christian now, which means that I can now enter into that intimate relationship with God in his presence. And out of that place, I am reminded of who I am, whose I am. And it gives me, from that place, I take the authority of God again afresh into my life. So when you come out of your quiet time, or time reading the Bible, or time in church, or whatever it is for you that you encounter the presence of God, what are you carrying out of it? Does it give you a reassurance of who you are? Is it giving you a sense of authority and power as you come out of it? Because if it's not, maybe you need to rethink about how you're encountering the presence of God. Because we get into a routine of what we do. I just do this. I just do that. And sometimes it's good to have a habit, which we come back to. But actually, if it's not bringing any life to you, if it's not bringing that sense of confidence in who God is to you, maybe it's time to have a bit of a rethink about how you encounter his presence day by day. And then what we see is God gives him a word of saying, speak to the rock. But Moses gets there and he doesn't speak to the rock. He strikes the rock. And this is just something that I think is interesting, isn't it? God says, speak and see what I'll do. Moses does to solve the problem. God says, speak and see it happen. Moses says, I'm going to do this and solve this problem. You see, he half hears God. This is what's going to happen. Okay, and then often we can get a vision or an idea of what we think God's saying for us to do, and then we work out our way of making that come into being, or work out a way of making that happen. And what we do is we strike the rock and go, that's how it's going to happen. But actually God's saying, speak and see. Don't do and try and solve. And you know what this is about? It says in the Bible, it says, because Moses and Aaron didn't trust God. You see, speaking and seeing is the challenge of saying, do we really trust God in this? Is it about trust, or is it about doing and solving, which is about us? So in your life right now, the things you're hoping for God to bring about in your life, are you doing that in an action of trust, or are you doing it in an action about us? It's about what I need. It's about, I'm going to solve this problem in my life. Now, there is something about being doers of the word of God. I've been talking about that before Christmas. So I'm not saying this is just a case of hands off and let God do everything. But there's something here about the power of what we speak into being. And for me, praying and speaking things into being is something we need to get our heads around afresh. This last week, I have seen something different in my life, in my prayer life, in the last probably week and a half. Rather than saying, in Jesus' name, I'm trying to say, and you might have heard me say it this morning, in the authority of Jesus' name. I don't know what sparked me to start praying like that, but something sparked in me this last few weeks to start praying in the authority of Jesus' name, or to say, we declare this in the authority of Jesus' name. And I have seen incredible answers to prayer in this last week and a half, in things that I did not think things would change in. I have no explanation for that. I'm just sharing to you as a pastor, here's my experience, and I just want to share it with you. There's something about speaking with the authority of God into situations and seeing what happens. And often we use in Jesus' name as like a sort of a magic word at the end of a prayer. It's like, I've prayed in Jesus' name. It's like a magic word. It somehow makes it all better. What we're doing when we're speaking in the name of Jesus is we're saying, we're claiming the promise that Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Now you can go and do. And as the disciples do, they speak in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Prayer is about calling the direction of your future into being right here and now. You can tell what you're believing for by the prayers that you have. What are you calling from your future into the here and now? What are you speaking into being? What are you praying for? What are you hoping for? What are you longing for that you're praying into being? You see, here, God says to Moses, speak to the rock and life, water will flow from it. Water will flow from it. Speaking things into being. In creation, very beginning, it says, God spoke and said, let there be light, and there was light. He calls forth things into being. And I'm not saying you want to go, I need £1 million, I'll call that into being by praying. I'm not saying that. It's about praying in line with the heart of the Father. But I think so often we've lost the understanding that prayer that comes out of that connection with God in His presence, where we take His presence and we take His authority that we gain there, and we bring that into our prayer life and we speak things into being, there's something beautiful that happens there. I've said this before. The power of our prayers, the power to do stuff for Jesus, is directly correlated to the amount of time spent in His presence every day. If Jesus' pattern is to spend time with the Father and then go and do this stuff, that's going to be our pattern as believers. Because to be a disciple is saying we want to do exactly what Jesus did. It's not an optional and extra. It's saying if you want to do the Jesus stuff, you've got to do what Jesus did. Jesus spends time in the presence of God, reestablishing, I think, who His identity was. And out of that, He takes the authority of that truth into the world around Him. It's very hard to pray with authority when you've lost confidence in who you are in Christ. But when you're confident and go, I am an heir, I am a co-heir with Christ, and everything that belongs to Christ now belongs to me because of what He's done on the cross for my life. Therefore, I declare and I proclaim and I speak in the authority of Jesus Christ. It comes out of a place of knowing who you are and the power that you have taken out of the presence of God. I just think this can be really revolutionary to our lives when we start speaking things into being rather than trying to do things and solve things. What's God putting on your heart right now? Pray it into being. Speak it into being. Just one story as an example. When I was 18, me and some of my friends were running a youth service at Perthshire Baptist Church. And we'd run it a few times, and God told me in the very first one we'd run, He said, you're going to lead this. And I was like, well, that's weird. And I just sat on that. I went, okay, God. And I prayed about it lots and went, okay, I have no idea how this worked. Because going, well, I'm about to go off to university. I'm about to go off and do all this stuff. Like, this makes no sense. And so I just thought, okay, well, this isn't something that I can work out how to do. So I'm just going to let God give me that word. I'm just going to pray into it and pray into it and pray into it. Now, I could have turned up and gone, God has told me I need to take charge of this and do this right now. That's what God's told me to do. And I could have forced it to happen, and I probably could have got there. But what happened was, in that year, I ended up dropping geography, which was my heartbeat of what I wanted to do after leaving school. I ended up doing a gap year in the church and ended up leading this ministry and seeing it grow. I could have forced it, but I just spoke it into being. I prayed into it and go, God, if this is your word, I'm just going to speak it into being. And so often we hear something from God and we strive and we struggle to try and make it happen. And God's saying, you're trying to do it in the wrong way. Speak it into being. This is a time for us to be praying as a church. This is a season in the church in the UK particularly where prayer has to be the heartbeat of everything we do. We've spent years in the church just doing, trying to solve problems. And normally the problem we've been trying to solve is going, the church is dying, the church is shrinking, we can't quite afford to do what we're doing, therefore we need new members in order to help pay the bills. And we caveat that with, we're sharing Jesus. That's a very harsh reflection on the church, but that's kind of been true. We've always been scared into doing mission because we're going, oh, we're going to die. Rather than going, it's His church. I don't believe anything can kill the church. Not even us. God will do what He does. It says words in Chronicles, isn't it? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will forgive their sins and I'll heal their land. As a church, we need to be people who are not trying to do and solve, but are speaking and seeing. And that's for the life of us as a church, but also in your workplace, whether that be in your street, whether that be your family. It's time to speak with the authority of Jesus that we take from being in his presence. That's where the authority and the power comes to our prayers, from being people who enter into his presence. And there, we can declare and see things come into being. Speak to the rock, and life will gush forth from it. We talk about moving mountains. This is about talking about where are the rocks in your life where you want to see water gush forth. And it's not about trying to strike the rock and do something to make it happen. It's about hearing God's word to say, speak and look what I'll do. See how it will happen. See how it will come into being. So there's a few questions that we're left with. Where do you experience God's presence? If you're not sure, have a bit of a think about it. If you're not quite sure how to do that, come have a chat with me. I'll happily talk to you about it. What are you carrying from God's presence? Are you coming out of God's presence with a confidence and a sense of authority in who God's called you to be and what God's called you to do? If you're not coming out of it with that sense of reassurance or sense of peace, potentially think about whether your time with God is something that's become dry and maybe needs to be shaken up a little bit. Maybe you need to change that slightly so actually you have a sense of who God is in that time. And lastly, what is the future that you're calling into being? What is it, with the authority that God's given you, what are you calling and speaking into being? What are you longing for? What are we longing for as a church to see? But this is a time for the church to be a people of prayer and speak it with authority, declare it with a belief and a confidence that when we speak, God will do. And not be put off by the fact that we have to learn patience in that and waiting in that. Let's be confident in praying in the authority of Jesus' name. So, just sharing it with you, I have found this last week and a half, by speaking and declaring things in the name and the authority of Jesus, I have seen something different change in my life, in my prayer life. I offer that to you if that's helpful, brilliant. If it's not, that's okay. But I have seen something radically shift in my prayer life because of it. So I encourage you not just to tag Jesus' name onto things, but actually speak it out with authority, because you are a child of God, and this is the promise of God for you. Let's speak and let's wait and see what God's going to do. Let's not try and do it our way. Let's do it God's way. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you long for us to enter your presence. And in that place, be reminded of who you are. And in that place, rediscover the calling you've placed upon our life and the authority with which you've given us to go out into the world and speak water and life into being where there is none. I pray that you would strengthen our confidence in you, give us a fresh courage in you. I pray that we would speak in the authority of Jesus' name, and we would see heaven open, the earth shake, and that we would see answers to prayer in incredible ways, because you are God and you can. Amen.